ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்யம் நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாசம் தத்தோ ஜயம் உதீரயே நஷ்டப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவையா பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Activities of Maharaj Agnidhra, and Text 17. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Lalana Anunya Ati Visharadaha இதி லலனா அனுயா அதிவிஷாரதோ இதி லலனா லலனா அனுயா அதிவிஷாரதோ இதி லலனா அனுநயா அதிவிஷாரதோ தட் இஸ் கரெக்ட் இதி லலனா அனுய அனு அனுநயா அதிவிஷாரதோ இதி லலனா அனுநயா அதிவிஷாரதோ க்ராம்ய வைதக்தயா க்ராம்ய வைதக்தயா பரிபாஷையா தாம் விபூதவதும் விபூதமதிஹி அதிஷபாஜயாமாஷ அதிஷபாஜயாமாஷ விபூதமதிர் அதிசபாஜயாமாச திஸ் இஸ் இன் ப்ரோஸ் மீட்டர் இட்ஸ் குவைட் அ டங் ட்விஸ்டர் சோ ஒன்ஸ் மோர் ஸ்ரீ சுக உவாச இதி லலனா அனுநயா அதிவிஷாரத லலனா அனுநயா அதிவிஷாரத கிராமிய வைதக்தயா கிராமிய வைதக்தயா பரிபாஷையா தாம் விபூதவதும் விபூதமதிஹி அதிஷபாஜயாமாச விபூதமதி அபிசபாஜயாமாச விபூதமதிரதிசபாஜயாமாஷ ஸ்ரீசுக உவாச இதி லலான அனுநயாதி விஷாரதோ க்ராம்ய வைதக்யா பரிபாஷையா தாம் விபூதவதீம் விபூதமதிரதிசபாஜயாமாச ஸ்ரீசுக உவாச லலான அனுநயாதி விஷாரதோ sorry, lalananunayati visharada gramya vaidagyaya paribhashaya tam vibhuda vadhum vibhudamatir adisabhajayamasa. Shri Shuka uvacha iti lalananunaya ati visharado gramya vaidagyaya paribhashaya tam vibhuda vadhum vibhudamatir adisabhajayamasa. Translation and purport. You want to read? It's a processing. Please. Sri Shuka uvacha lalana ati visharado gramya vaidagdaya paribhashaya vibhuda vadhum Mathir Abhisabha Jaya Masa. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Lalana Anunayati Visharada Gramya Vaidagdaya Paribhashaya Sri Shuka uvacha iti lalana anunayati visharada vaidagdayaya paribhashaya tham vibhuda vadum vibhuda matir Abhisabha Jaya Masha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sukrita Goswami continued, Maharaj Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. Purport. Please repeat. Sukrita Goswami continued, Maharaj Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. Purport. Since King Agnidra was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment. But because he wanted a wife for progeny and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachiti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted by a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called Vidagdha.
Om Jnana Tamurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuhu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guravi Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Dasitarine Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Maghyam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarobhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, it's very nice to be back in Bombay, and it's like a Bhagavatam class, it's like a big festival. So, thank you for participating with such enthusiasm. We are also happy to have Dhanavir Swami here with us. He is a very nice Vaishnava, and he has done many wonderful projects. He has run a very successful Brahmachari training program in America, 3-4 year course, like undergraduate degree course, and he has also translated, commissioned and got it translated, many Sanskrit works, including Sri Siddhanta and other Puranas, which are focusing on cosmology, one of the most important topics that Srila Prabhupada said the BA should do. So those books are valuable reference works for anybody who is interested in doing work in that field. And so we are very happy to have him here. I requested him to give the class instead of me, but he said he will give tomorrow, so that's very nice. Or he's here for a few days, and whenever they arrange, he will give. And we look forward to that. And I'm also thankful that Brajahari Prabhu and the temple management have requested me to speak today. Fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is very important, because in this canto we actually have that cosmology described. In the subsequent chapters we will have discussion of the Vedic cosmology. It is also describing in greater detail the nature of the material world as a forest of sense enjoyment. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam. So not a single word there is misplaced or irrelevant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that every syllable in every verse has got unlimited meanings. It has got unlimited meanings. You see? Because unlike ordinary language, you see, Sanskritam, perfect language, it is based on sound, unlike ordinary language. Now what do you mean by that? Every language is sound, but there is a difference in sound. You see? And the Bhagavatam sounds are perfect, just like when we speak, there is a sound. Scientists consider it as waves in the air. The air is vibrating and the air is going inside the ear. It's vibrating. Then there are some bones and they vibrate and they produce some electrical signals that go into the brain. And well, that is their way of saying, but then, you know, we hear some sound. That sound is the mechanical sound. You see? If somebody is playing mridanga, isn't it? If you hear he's playing some sound, then maybe that dog hears, he'll just hear that sound. He doesn't know he is playing mridanga, isn't it? There in the mridanga they got bowls, tabla, they have bowls, and na dim din na na dim din na takadim takadimi takadina tam. Say they say like that. And their sounds are there. And so they may say, oh, he's playing Aditaal, or he's playing Rupaktaal, or he's playing Jampaktaal. Some taal is involved. Not when I play mridanga, but when those who know mridanga, they play. So I just play whatever comes to my fingers, just keep the beat. But Dhritarashtra Prabhu has said it's okay, so then I'm authorized to. He said, you're keeping beat, so that's all right, he said, so we play. In any case, that sound is called Vaikari sound, conventional sound. Somebody heard that sound, it doesn't mean he actually heard the sound, which is a tanmatra. Then beyond Vaikari sound, there is Madhyama, Pashyanti and Para. So Vaikari sound is very conventional. We must, you see, Vaikari sound is very conventional. So you just hear and you say it, and generally you won't be able to reproduce it. You know? Suppose I said the quantum mechanical wave function is an element of the Hilbert space. You heard that sound, but you really have not heard the sound, meaning the information in it. So Lord Kapila says sound is that which conveys information. If you just hear this sound, it is sound. But if somebody, you say, oh, somebody wants to come inside the door, that's information. Like, you can see this as just black patterns on white paper. That is something, but if you see, oh, Sanskrit text is written, that is sound, information. So, this Vaikari sound is what is produced in the material world. It generally has no meaning. The person who says has no understanding of what is going on, he can say anything else also, it has no value. Because once you are wrong, how does it matter how you are wrong? Isn't it? You say something wrong, it is not, it doesn't matter how you are wrong. So whatever people speak in the material world, even if it appears true, it is false. So we have to be careful that we have gone past the Vaikari sound. For example, suppose you say this is a table. It is Vaikari sound. It has no meaning when people say it's a table. It looks like they have meaning, but I can give a class just on why it's meaningless. For 6 hours I can give. When people say this is a table, it is meaning, they can say anything they want. They can say this is glue, 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 this is blah, blah, blah. Therefore, this, what is this? The altar people should make no sound. And the class goes on. In any case, so, sorry. You see, I was saying something, I've forgotten it. Yeah, so, but why is it a blah blah? Because the table sound in some other language could be kursi. So is it kursi or is it table? It doesn't matter, it's both nonsense. This is very important. And that is why there is one famous poet, I don't know, maybe it was Shakespeare, who said, oh, what is in a name? A rose called by any other name will still smell as sweet. Do you see? I hope people are following. A rose called by any other name is as sweet, they said. Not in Sanskrit, that's what I'm coming to. In Sanskrit, everything is identical with, the sound is identical with the object. So that is a great science. So in Vaikari sound, it's conventional anyway. These are all very deep topics. And you can progressively go to Madhyama and Pashyanti and Para. By the time you get to Para sound, there is no difference between object and the sound. Therefore, it is described that
by Sridhar Swami in the 11th canto, that the sound and the object in Vaikari is like two different things. They are only related by us. They don't have a relation. Like you leave your shoe in the rack at the entrance, they give you token 56. There is no intrinsic connection between that token and the shoe. That is just somebody has given. That's all. Like that, between the sound table, kursi, this and that, and the actual table, which we have not seen, by the way. I don't think there is anybody in this world who has seen a table. You know. So, then what happened is that it is conventional. Then Sridhar Swami says, in Madhyama, they are connected, but they are two different things. It's like a welding thing. In actually, and then in Pashyanti sound, it's one thing with two faces, like a coin. This is object, this is the sound. But in Para, the object and the sound are one and the same. So we say Krishna, and Krishna's name is non-different. In the spiritual world, everything is there. And Sanskrit is designed for that type of reality. To actually get the Para sound out, it is there. So, the word, you know, every letter of the word, sa, ka, is not just that material sound we produce, but inside that there is a meaning. There is a meaning. And that cannot be produced by producing that sound. I have given explanation, like, you know, when the music teacher is teaching you and if he says sa, that sa that he sings is not the sound you hear. If it was the case, everybody will be a singer. Inside that, there is a secret. Because when you try to reproduce, then you know. Then it is very bad. Teacher says, no, no, it's wrong. So, you have to see shakshatkar of the swara. Sa. It's inside. It is not just sa. And you can hear and you can say, but you can't get it. You have to practice. It will take at least 8-9 years to get this sound. To see this sound. You know, it's very powerful. So, at least, you know, those people who are in classical music and all are supposed to come to the platform of the next level above Vaikari. But Bhagavatam is at the para sound level. So, every sound, every syllable has got, you know, meaning, and it's got thousands of meaning, and that is another topic. So, we should not carelessly think, which is the reason I said all this, that, oh, what is this Agnidra? He's just a materialist guy. We don't have to hear all this in the Bhagavatam class. He's nicely describing the eyebrows of the woman. You know, her breasts are like that, her eyebrows are like that, isn't it? There were slokas like that which I missed. In any case, the point is that it is described that when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, in Sutta Goswami, in the Naimisharanya Forest, there were many sages who were experts in meditation. So when actually, in Shukadeva Goswami originally when he was speaking, and when he came to the topic of the gopis and all, and these sages were saying like this, they thought it was all mundane topics. Similarly, no topic in Bhagavatam can be considered mundane. But we have to understand, and there is an unlimited understanding is possible. People who do not know Krishna, Radha Krishna Bhava, then they may say, oh, it is nonsense, it's material. Maharaj Agnidra is a very peculiar character, if I may say like that, just to use a word. He was actually the son of Priyavrata, who was a very great devotee and the incarnation of the Lord, special incarnation. And he is the grandfather of Rishabhdev, who is also incarnation of the Lord. It is also said that he is a devotee. Therefore, we can infer from this, there are devotees of different kinds.
So Agnidra is actually brought in because there is a sequence in which the important personalities have to be described. So Nabi, Maharaj Nabi is going to come, and from there Rishabhdev is going to come, and that is why Agnidra is also mentioned. But he is also important. Many things are in the fifth chapter about the material world are demonstrated in his own characteristics. So we can see that he was asked to produce a child, and he was performing in that sense the duty of a Prajapati. And different people, Prajapatis, they are all great personalities, and they go about it in different ways. Kardama Muni was also a Prajapati, and he produced a son like Kapila, Lord Kapila. He is also asked to produce a Prajapati, and he had a certain kind of tendencies, and that was suitable to produce certain kind of progeny for the next yuga. So you can see that as a devotee, whatever were the instructions of Maharaj Priyavrata, whatever he said, he carried out very nicely, and he was actually keeping his citizens exactly like children. You know, it is not a simple thing, and he carried that is required. And he was to get a child, but then he went to the Mandara mountain, where he knew that all the demigod planetary personalities, women, will come there. Sometimes some people go to some temple than another temple because there are better girls coming, isn't it? Sometimes it happens like that. So he went to Mandara mountain because he knew there are many apsaras there. Some of them are very famous. Ramba, isn't it? It's an apsaras. Urvasi, very famous. You know. So when we grew up, when we were children, many years ago, then in our childhood, these were the stories we learned. We didn't learn stories about Tintin or Mickey Mouse. No, nonsense. We learned stories about, you know, various King Indra, what happened in his court one day. We were 11 children, and my mother will keep all the children in front of us in one row and in one big pot. And then all Indian families it happened. And in one big pot she'll make sambar, you know, rice. And with her hand she will give each person one. And when we, and 11, and then by the time we come second, then she knows we'll get about 3-4 hands, and story will go on. And after that she will bring another pot in which she has already made rice, rasam rice, and then that will go on, and then, you know, dahi rice, like that. And we will sit and simply hear the stories. I remember when I was 5 years old, I remember my mother was saying, when she gave some prasadam, food, you know, in our house, we were Sri Vaishnavas, we had a nice Vishnu altar, every day everything will be offered. But I didn't know all that. I just grew up like a fool, you know. And that got exposed when I studied and then went to America and like that. So we know that, just very ordinary fools. So, but, you know, into the family tradition was like that. And then, so I'm not claiming that this reflects on me anything, but it was the tradition. And so, then my mother, I remember one day I put something in the ground. I was maybe 3 years old. And my mother said, "Oh, pick up that rice." She said, if you don't eat it, then this rice will go to Vaikuntha and it will cry to Vishnu saying, "I was not honored." So from that time I never ever actually, you know, wasted a grain of rice. Although I did not know what does it mean for this grain of rice to go to Vaikuntha and cry to Vishnu that, you know. So, you see, this was inside there like that. So these all the stories of minimum demigods, generally God, the first of course Ramayana will be told, Mahabharata will be told, when you are 2 years old, 3 years old, you learn. These are the stories, you see, you learn. Then what happened? Then the story came the time when the stories of great kings were. Kalidasa, the Kali Yuga phenomena, already writing about Dushyanti and, isn't it? Nala, Damayanti and something, stories, Shakuntala was born and like that. These are still great kings. After that, you remember when, you know, Sunil Prabhu will know, his movie man, when in the 40s and 50s, 1940s, I was not born, but 50s, 60s, I was there, and 60s, by that time movies were there, then they will be about various kings in India, Puranic stories, movies were there. Then it came to kings, Chera dynasty, Chola dynasty, you know, stories. And then it became from those kings to the modern kings. Alexander the Great went here, or that king went there, and it was. And after that, now we have the pastimes of totally useless people. And that is all people are hearing. Just a few weeks ago, I just realized, if it can be called realization, that there is only one source of misery in the whole world. Only one source of misery, that's all. I mean, that is that we hear about what people are doing. That's all. If you just deeply think about this and you stop reading newspapers and you don't hear about what mundane personalities are doing, that itself will first solve all problems. In addition, if you start hearing about Krishna, then the life will become perfect. Most people are suffering. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, that fellow lost the match. This fellow, you know, won the match. Like that, it goes on. Oh, I like this tennis player. Oh, I don't like this fellow football player. It goes on like that. If you actually watch, it's like that. Oh, this movie flopped. He's my favorite hero. Oh, that movie succeeded. I'm so happy. And then it comes to something like that. Oh, my child is so beautiful. I'm very happy. Oh, my child failed. Oh, I'm very unhappy. These are all pastimes of the child. In this way, pastimes of material people is what we are filling our ear 24 hours of the day. Meaning people in the material world. So Bhagavatam has been actually given to fix this malady of hearing about mundane people's, you know, thing. People are only, it is not possible for all of us can do everything. I cannot sing and I cannot dance and I cannot act and everything. But in the movies, you know, there is one fellow to act, one fellow to sing, and one fellow to coach him how to dance and this and that. It is an industry. A lot of people put together create an illusion. You see. So like I said once before, we are anyway watching the activities of heroes and heroines. Why not hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Person, Krishna? So the Srimad Bhagavatam is designed for taking us there, you see. So we can see that even someone like Agnidra, who was the son of Maharaj Priyavrata, he is not guaranteed to be a pure devotee. And I think you all read, it must be previously explained there, that Agnidra was born because Maharaj Priyavrata was, you know, in a lusty mood when he begot him, and but he himself was a pure devotee, why was he like that? Then we can. Everything is actually in relation to God. So these activities are not at all mundane, but these are many, many things, preaching points are there, many important ideas have to be learnt and, you know, to be seen. So this Maharaj Agnidra, in order to produce a child, he actually went to court a celestial courtesan who normally do not consort with human beings. Sometimes when there are human beings who are almost at the level of demigod, such kings were there, these kings were material kings, but they were very, very intelligent and powerful.
Then sometimes even demigods, this apsaras came down and had association with them.
I remember when I was a child, there was one movie in which there was one great earthly hero to whom actually an apsaras became attracted,
and then she came down and she was living with him, and after some time she said, I have to go back to the heavenly planet, and she went back and he said, no, how can I be without you? Then she gave him a flute or something which if he plays, she will come. And one day she was asked to, and this is the whole movie, and the climax scene is then Indra is asking her to perform a dance, and then while she is dancing, this fellow plays the flute and she has to leave and go, and you know, some big mischief movie like that. But that was a big hit, and that was the main story. And actually being absorbed in that is certainly better than, you know, what these modern heroes and heroines are doing, you see. It's really amazing, and how there are newspapers that are choreographed to make you, you know, every little thing that those people do, they bring it up. And what is their pastimes? There's nothing. One day this, one day that, nonsense this, nonsense that, and the whole newspapers are full of it. So we should understand what is actually the flaw of modern life. It is just completely so jam-packed with things that are not Krishna, but we have to hear the activities of people. This is a human condition. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranarko Udino Uditaha Kalav Nashtadrisham Esha. Because people are actually completely lost their sight like that, then this Purana Bhagavatam has come. So this Bhagavatam, you know, it has to be heard. And it has to be. So this fellow Agnidra was as nearly as good as a demigod. And so when he saw her, he was actually bewildered. Prabhupada says he is bewildered. But the point is that that fellow was not mistaking her. It was not like he was mistaking her two eyebrows for two bows without strings. He knew what he was doing. But the point is, he was believing in all of that. He thought, this is very beautiful. That's how he was in illusion. And then he was describing it very nicely, expertly, and it was going on. So, to hear the activities of the personality of Godhead, that is not a simple thing. And especially to understand the activities of Krishna is very difficult, because Krishna is a person. That is a description that you cannot even give for Narayana. Try to understand. That's very amazing. Of course, when we say God is a person, we mean, you know, Brahman is there, and beyond Brahman there is, you know, spiritual reality is there, and the personality of Godhead is there, and there so many forms are there, and the original form is Krishna. That's true too. So in that, from that viewpoint, Narayana is also a person. But from another viewpoint, Krishna is a person in a different sense, which are, you know, it is like, you know, if you are, you know, it is like if you see somebody on the road whom you don't know, and somebody asks, who is that? You'll say, some person. I don't know. But suppose your father is going. If somebody asks, who is it? He's also a person, but you won't say, some person. You'll say, it's my father. So with Narayana, you cannot say, he's a person. You have to say, he's God. Narayana means he is God. Aishwarya is there, you know, opulence. So in that sense, you cannot call Narayana just a person. He's nobody. But Krishna is such a person that he has no other identity. He is not this. Okay. But Krishna is such that he is not somebody. If you meet Krishna, And you ask him, you say, who are you? He'll say, I'm Krishna. Okay, but what do? Oh, I just have fun with my friends. Maja karta. Do you do anything else? No. Have you got some job? No. Who are you? I'm Krishna. That's all. He's just Krishna. He's a person. He has got absolutely no other identity. You cannot call him God, this, that. But he is the supreme person. Whatever way in which everybody claims they are something, he is the source of that. If somebody says I am king, he is actually the Adi Raja. If somebody says I am a demigod Deva, he is Deva Deva. He is Suresham. He is the lord of the, you know, Suras. If somebody says I am a musician, he will say he is the greatest musician. If something says I am Meru Mountain, Krishna says I am greater than you. And if the atom says, oh, you know what? I have got some great quality. I am the smallest. He says, no, I am smaller than you because I am inside you. Wow. Anoraniya mahato mahiyam. So there is no dearth of qualities for Krishna. But still you cannot know him through those ways. If when you know him, he is only Krishna. You see? So to actually realize Krishna as Krishna, that is actually the result of unlimited punya. That is described in the 10th canto. You have to go through material energy like this, and you have to actually, you know, become a great king and this and that and everything and make fools of ourselves, and then you become devotees, and then you become yogis and jnanis and karmis, great karmis and great yogis and jnanis and great yogis. Then you become Vaishnava, and then you go through, you know, Narayana Vishnu worship, Narayana worship like that. And if you are fortunate, then you can actually come to not worship Krishna, come to know Krishna, love Krishna, and just be with Krishna. That's all. That's what Goloka is. It's Krishna. Who is he? What do you mean with Krishna? That's all. Of course, Krishna is everything. You see? Just like if you go to a company and you are just a sweeper and you are working under the guy who is the head of all the sweepers, who is another sweeper, you know. And then that sweeper will be working in one department in which there is a little manager. And that manager is, you know, working in another departmental manager. And that department managers are all working under one bigger divisional manager. That he is working under a CEO, he is working under the owner of the company, like that. So in that company, although this sweeper is answerable to the head sweeper, but he is also answerable to the, he is also under the control of the managers. Another manager can say, remove that fellow. So everybody, we are simultaneously under the control of so many entities. We are under the control of Mahamaya, we are under the control of our karma, we are under the control of the demigods, we are under the control of, you know, our own nature, we are under the control of Narayana, Vishnu. But we are also under the control of Krishna. So in everything, Krishna is the controller. Although others are also controllers. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada points out that when Krishna says that I protect my devotee, it is not actually in his appearance as Paramatma or anything. Personally he takes care. So how to actually realize and relate to this Krishna who is a person, that is actually the Raja Vidya Raja Gukhyam. You see? Therefore it is said that even when we are worshipping the deity Radha Krishna, they are actually, you know, in the mood of opulence, and they worship like anywhere rather in the material world. But actually we have to relate to Krishna, you know, as a person. That is a result of being revealed knowledge. It comes as a result of genuine diksha. That is another point. So Krishna is the supreme. He is the soul of all souls. Narayana, the Mahavishnu, is there, and he is there. In each universe there is one Paramatma, but he is not the Paramatma of people in the next universe. There is another Paramatma for that. And all those Paramatmas, actually for them the Paramatma is Mahavishnu. And even for Mahavishnu, the Paramatma is Krishna. Therefore, Advaita Acharya said, I am the Paramatma of every living entity, but even I have a Paramatma. So, no living entity can know what I think, but I can know everything that they think. But what I think can be known by my Paramatma too is only Krishna. Therefore, he said, let me see if this Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And then he thought something and he went away. And Lord Chaitanya showed that he knew it. And Advaita Acharya then realized, okay, he is my Lord, he is my super soul. Aham Atma Guda Kesa, Krishna says, I am. So, it is actually from that viewpoint of Krishna, the Supreme Person, who is nothing other than the Supreme Person. So the devotees in Goloka, they don't know Krishna in any other way. But we cannot know that Krishna without knowing what is the table. Don't think that Krishna is so cheap that you can actually know him directly. No, that's not possible. Therefore, Prabhupada says, by chanting and dancing, we will come to know things around us we see every day. Then we can know about Krishna. So this is a supreme vision of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Vedanta, that God is a person. That Prabhupada says, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita introduction, that this is a concept that is not there in any religion. Not that it's a concept, but this description. Every religion thinks of God, but in Gaudiya Vaishnava Vedanta, Krishna is seen as son. Krishna is seen as a child. Krishna is seen as, you know, if you see today, Gaurnita address deity, you know, they're like two babies, isn't it? And I came at San Fitton and I said, oh my God, just look. Very, very well, you know, different devotees get darshan in a different way. But the point is that, what was I saying? Before I got sidetracked. Krishna, they said, Krishna is baby. Krishna is my baby. How are they thinking? Yashoda is saying, Krishna is my baby. And she's running behind. I'm going to beat you. You're giving too much trouble, like an ordinary mother. But she is not ordinary, and Krishna is not ordinary. They are very transcendental persons. Once some life member asked Krishna that, how can we understand Krishna as supreme, you know, God, if, you know, Ramachandra, as Ramachandra, he performed worship for Shiva in Rameshwaram. Prabhupada then pointed out our picture where Mother Yashoda is coming with a stick and Krishna is running. He said, see, for Shiva, Lord Krishna only performed puja. But with Mother Yashoda, he is running in fear. So Mother Yashoda is real God. If you go by that logic, Prabhupada said. So if we understand Krishna, we can understand Bhagavatam. But there is nothing like understanding Bhagavatam and therefore understanding. So it is a very peculiar process. We read Bhagavatam, but by reading this Bhagavatam, we are actually expressing our interest to become a devotee. By chanting Hare Krishna, we are expressing our interest. Not that it is of course sadhana sadhya, it's all one, but we should also understand ultimately that mercy has to come. So everything is involved. In any case, that's a different topic. So, in any case, so it is the opportunity to discuss Krishna, the Supreme Person, that we are able to get from any topic that is discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Agnidra is being described, and if you systematically see that, you know, many, many aspects of devotional service are there, that he is coming as a son of Priyavrata, but he is, you know, still, you know, his own guy, and therefore what happened, even though he was doing what his father told him, which were all Vaishnava instructions, taking care of his thing, eventually at the end he is going to actually desire to go to Pitruloka, but from there he actually will go to the, you know, same place where this Apsaras was there, and in this the life's mission is spoiled. So it is a great and sublime process, Krishna consciousness. And, you know, it is something sublime, very sublime. It is simple but sublime. It is, so unless we
crave for it. And when we crave for it, we will actually, and if we are blessed, then we will actually see this whole world is an illusion. It's a nonsense. It doesn't even exist. So I was just wanted to read, the Prabhupada says here. Here is the recommendation, try to become Krishna conscious. Then you will not be disturbed by all these external ephemeral changes of the material world. Not only of this body, practically one who is advanced in spiritual life is not agitated by the so-called political upheavals or social upheavals. No, he knows they are simply external, just like a dream. Our present existence is a dream. Exactly, we dream at night. In that dream we create so many things. So this world and the body is also gross dreaming. So Prabhupada says, this is gross dreaming, in the night is subtle dreaming. In other words, so Prabhupada says, gross dreaming, and this is gross dreaming, that is subtle dreaming. Action of the mind, intelligence and body. Subtle dreaming is action of mind, intelligence and body. And the gross dream, here the action of five material elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. So understanding these five elements, don't think is so easy. We are doing some work which hopefully will scientifically establish these five elements very soon, you know, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy and all of your blessings. But, you see, so in the night we have night dream, and then when we wake up we think we are awake, but actually we have entered another dream called daydream or gross dreaming. The gross dreaming is done by the elements, the subtle dreaming is done by these mind, intelligence and false ego. So you can wake up from the subtle dream by coming to this bodily dream. So how are we to wake up from this bodily dream? Oh my God, if this is the base of all my activities, how am I going to wake up from this dream? Ji jago, Gaura chanda bole, kota nidra yao maya, pishachi rakole. How long will you sleep in this witch called Maya? But we don't even know we are sleeping, we are thinking I am awake. Therefore Krishna says, Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. He says, what you think is awake, the learned person knows it is sleeping. You say you are awake, but you are sleeping. Yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato mune. So then the muni, he says, when he is actually awake, he sees everybody is sleeping. And but they are saying that he is sleeping. They are saying, what are you doing? Oh, I am sitting here chanting. Useless fellow. Doing nothing. We are so busy, we are doing so many things. No, you are doing nothing and I am doing something. So these are not simple things. Look at Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, we can say, but what does it mean? Does it mean we should have Mangalarti at midnight and go to sleep at afternoon? No. This is an amazing point Krishna is telling. It's a great science, Bhagavad Gita. It's a great science. So the gross dream is there, the subtle dream. And how to wake up from this gross dream? This is you must know how this is a dream. And the only sound that can wake us up is the Hare Krishna mantra. But how is it to be chanted? How the Hare Krishna mantra is to be worshipped? Prabhupada said the tongue must do its work. In Chaitanya Charitamrita he says that just like a boxer, they're training by boxing, you know, they're punching on the bag. Prabhupada says just like the boxer is punching on the bag, the tongue has to work. And what does it mean? Only they can reveal. That's all the process of bona fide diksha. So you see, Krishna consciousness is something very, very great. And so one should not be disturbed by this dreaming condition. We must wake up. And that is the process. Anyway, I've spoken enough, blah, blah. Any questions or comments? Any mistakes? Please forgive. I mean, I actually didn't really start the class. It was all like beginning, but time has gone. But I wanted to say something else. But that has to come another time.
You mentioned that Krishna protects personally in the course of the class. And you also mentioned that Krishna doesn't do anything. So when he protects...
No, I don't say Krishna doesn't. Krishna has got no obligations.
Correct. So when
but he is full of activities.
Correct. He is all the time playing with his companions, etc.
So this also
and
is
at
companion.
The same time, he is also protecting. That's.
No, he is protecting his devotee.
Yes.
Others, he has got Paramatma.
Agreed. But he is doing some obligatory work. I mean,
no.
Obliged,
no, it's
obliged.
Not obligatory. It's mercy. His mercy. Nobody can force him to do that. It is his pastime with the devotee.
He himself promises in the Gita, no, that I will protect you.
If you become a devotee.
Yes. So that he is obliged.
That's no, because he has to make you devotee.
Agreed. But at any point.
No, he's not obliged. Because if he doesn't make you devotee, how you will become devotee?
Correct. He'll not. But the fact is that.
It's all just try to understand. You are just simply talking like a stupid lawyer. Oh, this is. He has said that I will protect you, therefore he has got some duty. What nonsense is that? Suppose you say Krishna is all powerful. Then can you say, show me that, suppose a father is more powerful than the child. You say, well, prove it, you killed the child. What kind of a nonsense is it? Why should I prove my... So why should he prove that he has got no obligation by your standard that he should not make a promise?
I am not suggesting that. I am saying he has made a promise.
No, that is by his free will, he can break it also. Okay, that's the answer. You can't hold him to it. He can break it also and he can find a reason for it. There is nothing you can do. Prabhupada said, if Krishna wants to cheat you, there is no way, you will not even know you are being cheated. So you can't force Krishna like that. You can't go to the court. You cannot put a case on him. Civil case. I became a devotee, but I checked, actually, still the old Paramatma is there. Krishna is not there. I'm very sorry. No. Nobody. That is what they tried in Mahabharata. So many ways in which they were. So they went to Nakula, and they said that, Nakula, what is the date on which Sahadeva, who is the astrologer, what's the date on which Duryodhana said we should do the war so that we will win? So but he's a Brahmana. I mean, Kshatriya and pure devotee also. He said, okay, this is my job. Even though you are trying to arrange the war so that you can defeat us, you do the war on this day, then what happens is that you will win. Pandavas will get defeated. You understand? So Duryodhana was given the time, 10 o'clock or something. That was Amavasya. And he came and he did everything. And eventually he lost the war. Then when he was lying there, he asked Sahadeva, why you said that, you should do the war on the... I did it exactly at the time. Yeah, but the problem is that Amavasya came a little sooner. Why? He said, because Krishna came and told Yudhishthir to perform the same puja 2 hours before that. And Krishna is both sun and moon. So Amavasya means sun and moon getting together. So it was Amavasya. Krishna said, this is Amavasya, now you do. And he won the war. Kadam. There is no way you cannot. See, Krishna is not rule bound. So people, then they become envious and they say in Mahabharata, oh, Krishna broke so many rules. What so many rules he broke? You nonsense, you broke so many rules. Why should he not break any rules? That is also a rule. If you break rules, I will also break them. Because Krishna is a person. Rama is not like that. Lord Rama was fighting in, Vishwamitra Muni took him to the forest. 16-year-old boy, kid, and Tataka was there. Her name was Tataka, right? And he told Tataka, Tataka came, Vishwamitra started the thing and Tataka came in the sky, wow! She was pouring all ugly things and she was spoiling. And she said, ha ha ha, who can defeat me? Then Rama was saying, Vishwamitra said, Rama, kill her. He said, no, I can't kill her, she's a woman. No. And then when they were fighting, she killed and then her sons or I think two fellows came. And when they fought, they were breaking all the rules of the war. They got thousands and thousands of Rakshasas and they're breaking all the rules. And Vishwamitra said, you can't defeat this guy sticking to rules. You also play. He said, no. I'll stick to all the rules of the warfare, how war is to be fought, and I'll still defeat. Krishna is not like that. Oh, you break the rule, I can break it better than you.
And it will still not be broken because I am Vedanta Krit Vedavit Evachaham. I know according to Veda and Vedanta what's perfect. No, let's not even get into this point of arguing. This is material analysis. You understand? We are devotees. Krishna says, I will do this, we say, yes, sir. And Krishna said, I won't do this, we say, yes, sir. Prabhupada said, we are psychophants. We are yes-men for Krishna. Whatever he says, we say yes. The only time we say no is if Radharani says the opposite. Then we tell Krishna, no, sir. Sorry. But that is very high with philosophy. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that. Once he was going in Radhakund, the Bhajavajis were there and he asked his disciples. They also worship Radharani, we worship Radharani. Do you know what is the difference? And he said, when there is a fight between Radha and Krishna, they support Krishna, but we support Radharani. That's the difference. We don't know what that is. To understand that, we should first understand Vaikari sound. Where is the table? The Goswamis where every day we are singing, where is Krishna? Hey Nandasuta Kutaha. So we have to ask like that, oh table, where are you? It is there. In the first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has described what is the real table, how to see it. So are you following? So I don't want to even get into an argument with you about this business. Whatever Krishna says is perfect, that's all. If Krishna says tomorrow don't read Bhagavad Gita, we say yes, sir. That's all. But Krishna is not whimsical. You have to understand that point. Krishna is Dharmatma. He is the embodiment of religion. He is not whimsical at all. Therefore, Krishna is perfect. That's all. Krishna is great. Not only great, he is the greatest. That's the mood we must have. Okay? Any other question? I'll take one more question. Swami Krishi Prabhu, one more question.
It's a simple question. How this sound vibration of Hare Krishna Mahamantra wakes up from our material dreamy state, the daydream? How does it affect, like in scientific way or in some way, that we are sleeping day or night, but how this sound vibration wakes us up? What is the process that is making us awake?
You see, if I answer this question, it will fall under the offense of giving mundane explanation of the Krishna mantra. So that we have to be very careful. But with that caveat, it is there. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Just as we associate, so we will become. If we associate with drunkards, we will certainly pick up not only drinking habit, we will like that particular drink all our friends like. That is how we learn that drink. If we associate with fellows who are going to movie, we will go to movies. And the kind of movie that they go to. Sangat sanjayate kama. If we associate with modes of nature, then we will act like that. But if we associate with Krishna, then we will become spiritual. Prabhupada said like the spoon in fire becomes like fire. So because the sound is para, that is the scientific thing. So now that can explain scientifically, but I always have a feeling that if I spoke about these things, people are bored. Devotees are bored. But karmis are not bored. They just hear very much about the sounds and everything. Even in the beginning, you see, I spoke and I just touched it and then I went. But anyway, so I can scientifically explain those sounds, but once we understand this para sound, you follow? And then we know that in the para sound, the sound and the object Krishna is the same. And because Sangat Sanjayate, we are associating with Krishna by chanting, then, you see? So if you want the scientific answer, then I have to go into the sound business. You see? You follow what I'm saying? And therefore I said that it should not be forming under that offense. Just so that nobody attacks me. But I have to speak more about it. But since you asked, I will say one more point. Can I? About sound. So that I open up a little bit more. Then it will be an answer.
I told you that sound is not just this mechanical vibration. That is vaikari sound, mundane material sound. So that mechanical sound, whether it is maize or kursi or table or chair, it's all meaningless, blah, blah, blah. No. So what is a table, I won't explain now, that's a separate topic. But regarding sound, you see, currently our conception of the world is that it is a collection of facts. That you are sitting there, this table is here, I'm sitting here, the car is going there, the tree is standing there. That is, of course, Lord Shiva, not tree, but outside. Tree is standing there, or, you know, bird is flying, you see? So it's all facts. Suppose somebody says, no, that car could be parked there, possibility. We will say, that's not a fact. In the world, it doesn't exist, that possibility. You understand this point? Are you following this point? So this world, we currently see it as a world of facts. Is that point clear? That is an illusion. If you want to understand five elements, I'm just going into it. That is an illusion. Now why it is, just take it now for granted. So what Bhagavatam says is, no. You see, suppose you see an apple. You have an apple experience. There are two ways you can have that apple experience. One is because there is an apple, and one is because it's a painting. When you see the painting, you see, let's say the painting is so good, you see apple. And the see apple also, you see it. So from your experience of seeing apple, you don't know whether there is an apple or whether there is a painting. You follow what I'm saying? So if you understand the apple that you experience as coming from a painting, then there is a potentially an apple exists there. There is no apple, the colors are in such a way that if you observe, or anybody observes, you will see an apple. You follow this point? So the difference between oxygen, nitrogen, elements and five elements is the following. We think that there is a table in the world and the table is made of five elements. No. This table is our experience, like you see an apple. Behind this there may be a table, that is one assumption that works in the world. But you can also think another way, that there's a painting, something like a painting, and when you see it, you see a table. So it is that painting, which is like, painting is made on a paper with color. Like that, what is called space, akash, ether, the other elements combine, like ink. So they're all combined in such a way that if our senses see it, you will see a table. So the real thing is the five elements, where they contain the possibility for objects, and what you consider real appears only when you experience. So sound tanmatra is when your ear is interacting with ether, when you hear sound. You follow? Taste tanmatra is when your tongue is interacting with water element, not this water. So when you can understand that, you can go from vaikari sound to the next level of sound, madhyama. Then you will know, when you say water, water we say, we think there is a bottle of water, you think there is a bottle with water. That is vaikari sound. But in next level, you will understand actually how the elements have combined to give me the appearance of a water bottle. Of course, as devotees, Prabhupada wrote in 5th canto, like Mayavadis, they argue whether a pot is real or false. We don't worry, we simply fill it up with water and give to Krishna. But that doesn't mean by offering things to Krishna, you still remain ignorant. We actually understand these things, and we understand them better than Mayavadis. So, this is a great science. If I only gave a class on this, people will think I've said nothing about Krishna. But it is all about Krishna. So that is another class. I can't give it here. So normally I keep quiet. I don't speak on those things. But if you want a scientific explanation, this is one way to go, but it is not a speculation. This is not something I found, but my brain power.
It is revealed knowledge. It's not something that I have just come up with. Is that okay? Did I say anything sensible or no? You got some clue or no? It's a vast topic. Very vast topic. We'll stop. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.